Trinitarian, written and read by Fresney. Fandom, Arthurian Mythology. Pairings, Guinevere Arthur, Guinevere Lancelot, Arthur Lancelot, Guinevere Arthur Lancelot. On the first morning of May, Queen Guinevere went to riding with her champion, Sir Lancelot du Lac. On that day, she wore a camisole that was laced tightly at the sides, so that showed both sides of her, shining pale skin where she was laced up. She rode upon a gentle white palfrey. Sir Lancelot du Lac rode upon a shining red palfrey, a gift of his lady and queen for his defeat of the giant Tyr at the lists this last Pentecost. He wore a tunic of linen embroidered by his queen's ladies. His cloak of green wool was closed with a twisted silver brooch, a gift of his lady on his return with a flask of the water of the blessed spring in Broceliande. Ever through his deeds, Sir Lancelot du Lac strove to be worthy of his lady, courteous and brave. These were the qualities that his most gracious lady tended within him, as a gardener tends to her flowers, each careful bloom bringing her prestige, as the leaves of the plant seek the light of the sun. They rode through the forest, until they came to the place that the queen had caused to be prepared for them at their rest, a rich bower cunningly woven from wild roses and lined with silk, a couch of rich white ermine lined with silk, alexandrine. It lay spread beneath those perfumed branches. Gently, Sir Lancelot du Lac lifted his lady and his queen to earth where her silk-slippered feet touched only sweet rushes. She took him by the hand and led him to his place at her knee, where they might converse the idle hours away. As his words pleased her, and his lady was ever pleasing to him, they lay down a while beneath the perfumed branches, not idly then, but with purpose. Queen Guinevere gently bound Sir Lancelot du Lac's left hand and wrist to her own, with bright ribbons in such color as only a queen may own, as a queen may bind a tercel of the Ger Falcon to her. She bound him with pretty ribbons, and whiled the day away. King Arthur went up from his Whitsun's midsummer feast to defend the border from the Northmen. Great giants they were, and fierce in battle. But it was of no matter to King Arthur, for he was followed into battle by the noble knights of his court. The greatest of these, and the most worthy, was Sir Lancelot du Lac. On that day King Arthur bore upon his arm a round shield, painted over with the image of the Virgin Mary, Blessed Mother of Christ. In his hand he wielded mighty Excalibur, given to him by the gracious Lady of the Lake, just as Sir Lancelot du Lac had been given to his court by her. His leather armor was most cunningly wrought, to appear like the leaves of the greenwood. King Arthur rode upon a golden destrier, while Sir Lancelot du Lac, the king's good right arm, he rode upon a red courser, a gift of his king, for Sir Lancelot's part in the harrowing of the Jutes this last spring. Sir Lancelot du Lac bore upon his arm a round shield, painted over with water, a gift of his foster mother, the Lady of the Lake. In his hand he wielded Andrette, the unfailing light of the lake. Upon his body he wore leather armor, most cunningly wrought, to appear like waves, a gift of his liege. The battle ran hot in the midday sun. King Arthur led the way into the fray. Excalibur fair smoked with King Arthur's blows, while Sir Lancelot du Lac served well as his king's good right arm, defending him of blows unseen and laying low all that would harm him. From courage to courage, Sir Lancelot du Lac strove to be all that was worthy of his liege. Noisome was the battlefield, and blood splashed the oft-reddened soil, until naught would grow in that place. Many were lost in that darkened deep valley. But as the sun set upon that vale, the battle was won, and the Northmen fled to from whence they had come. They made camp there on the high ridge above the battlefield. They rested where they were. King Arthur caused Sir Lancelot du Lac to sit at his knee, that they might confer upon the battle. When they had wrung from the day all the words that could be wrung, upon their bare woolen cloaks they laid down. Not idly then, but with purpose. King Arthur rebound Sir Lancelot du Lac's wounds that had been taken in his name. He rejoiced with him. He rejoiced with his good right arm to have survived the day. They lay down together beneath the stars in their joy all through the night. On the feast day of St. Ignatius of Antioch, King Arthur and Queen Guinevere sat in court in Camelot. Deep purple-red silk were their coats, while all over embroidered in golden threads were their surcoats. They sat upon their thrones, king and queen, side by side. Upon their heads they wore the crowns of their majesty. Upon their hands they wore the rings of state, for the realm to which they were wedded. In King Arthur's hand he bore the scepter of justice. In Queen Guinevere's hand she held the mirror of truth. Petitioners came before with their disputes. The king and queen, they listened to those who came before them. Not idly, but with purpose. They pleated their fingers together and raised them in judgment. Rich green meadowlands granted to this man. A price set for the injury done to that woman. Marriages approved, babes observed, and oaths taken. They sat together, side by side, and guided the court before them. So, too, they sat to the feast. All the court gathered around them at the table round, which groaned with the largesse of the king and queen. So, too, they went to their wedded chamber, the chamber of the king and queen, and took equal comfort in each other. In private chambers they sat together. Arthur, he sat beneath the stained glass window, which showed a rich red rose upon a starry field, and a white dove upon the rose. Guinevere, she sat beneath a tapestry of a golden eagle, holding a lily over wide rippling waves, all pricked out in silken thread. Lancelot, he sat upon a richly carved chair between them. It had been made for that purpose, and for his comfort. He sat between them most joyous in his place. Good courtesy he displayed, with the tale of his latest adventures in their names. Arthur fed him slivers of meat. Guinevere fed him candied fruit. Between the two of them they filled him with good food as they sat and spoke in their most private chambers. Then Arthur bid Sir Lancelot to tarry with them throughout the evening. Guinevere bid him tarry with them into the night. Tarry there he did. Arthur had caused the tick of their bed to be stuffed with sweet-scented grasses. Guinevere had caused the bedding to be replaced with fresh linens and a rich mantle of ermine for the quilt. Lancelot laid before them a shining feather plucked from the tail of the phoenix. They whiled the hours of night away most joyfully. The end.